Hey guys, it's The Great Debates.
Thank goodness. Oh, highlight of my week.
I'm so psyched.
Yes.
Is Dave going to be here?
Okay, Dave is very busy working on the show Love on Netflix. He's fully committed to that project.
He's all in.
Yeah, luckily we have our buddy Fabrizio Capano.
Fabrizio!
I don't have a job.
Here to guest of it.
Hello, I'm sitting here.
Dave, watch your back, man.
I know, Fabrizio's been hanging out.
We're unemployed.
I don't want to be political, but a lot of American around immigrants the great trying to take your job.
Looking for debate action.
We're taking jobs because we charge less.
There's no debates. You're doing the debates Americans won't do.
Yeah, because they don't want to do these debates anymore, so we have to fill up.
Speaking of, give us a top.
I've got a top. Yeah. I've got a top. I'm ready to go. I'm not even going to put a timer because I'm just so interested in to see how this sort of unfolds.
Okay.
Who wants to take the pro?
I think I take the pro. Okay.
Here we go. The topic is, and Fabrizio, you're going to take the pro. The topic is, there are no fans of the movie Avatar.
Well, I think that I already explained it all. Like, you can see in the list of the most watched movies in the history of humankind, Avatar is number one. But it's weird that we don't know, and I don't know anybody ever that love Avatar and is a huge fan, have a t-shirt, a toy, have a tattoo, have something around the world of Avatar. There's no one, there's no kid in any place in the world tonight or today or tomorrow playing with a toy of Avatar, playing a video game of Avatar. I think there's not even a video game of Avatar. So there's no one who can see, like, can say, I'm a huge fan of Avatar. And I don't know anybody, and it's the most watched movie. Don't make any sense. I think there's something there. We have to investigate. We have to check. There's something weird about it. But the truth is, in the world, there's no a single group of people that come together and talk about Avatar for 2 hours and say about the characters of the universe of the world, or, you know, there's nothing like that happening. There's no convention. There's nothing around the world Avatar. There's no fans of Avatar. No one. Zero people. No one.
Okay, I'm Steve Healy. I'm taking the con. We're talking about Avatar, and it is the biggest box office movie in the history of the world, I believe. Maybe like number four if you adjust for inflation. I forget. No, even if you don't adjust for inflation, it's still number one. Okay, look, there's not a ton of fans of Avatar. We don't walk around every day talking about, I have no idea what even the name of the planet was. I couldn't name a single one of the characters. But there are, just by numbers, there's going to be some Avataris out there. And that's what they're called. And yeah, at least one of them has a tattoo of the blue people, and they're into the message of environmentalism that's in the movie. I bet there's even sort of twisted Avataris who are into the, like, space marine, bull down the rainforest take of Avatar. They're kind of like fascist fans. Not many of them, but just when you funnel through the probably 1 billion people who saw Avatar, put them in the funnel, 200,000 or 300,000 are going to come out as super fans. I don't know where they are. I don't know how they communicate. I don't know what specific aspects of the movie they're passionate about. I just know the numbers add up. They're there.
I truly think there's no one. And I say, like, I'm not saying like a, you know, the idea of no, there's actually no one. And what I'm saying this is because I've been around. I've been like dealing with this for a long time. And I've been looking for, I've been searching. I've been like trying to find life outside the like, and there's no one. There's actually, I truly know people who is like, I don't know, fan of Titanic, the other James Cameron movie who's in the list. And Titanic have like people who, I don't know, still watch it or like make, you know, I know people with shirts, but there's actually no one. And I say like really clear, there's no, there's zero people that is a huge fan of Avatar. Like even they can like it. They can say like, okay, it's part of my, I don't know, five favorite movies, but there's no one say like, it's my number one movie. There's no one defending Avatar in a conversation. Say like, hey, don't mess with Avatar. Like, you know, like, there's no one who have memories. A lot of people have memories about Star Wars when we had together to see. There's no, I don't remember. I know I saw the movie. I don't remember the day. I don't remember where. I don't care. There was no one in the line dresses blue. Like there was nothing. And it's the most watched movie of the human. It's also like about there's nobody. It's also like there's something weird about it.
Okay. Let's just take a piece of the Avatar puzzle. Sigourney Weaver is in the movie. I remember that. I remember she wears a Stanford sweatshirt.
Okay.
Don't remember her character's name or really what role she played in the story. But I know there are Sigourney Weaver fans. You can't even
remember anything about there's the movie.
There's somebody out there who's just like a Sigourney Weaver maniac. And of her films, he considers Avatar...
But Keely, obviously there's Sigourney Weaver fans. There is. I'm sure there is Sigourney Weaver fans. But they're not fans of her because of Avatar. There's no one say like, I watched this movie and there's this woman called Sigourney. I never heard about her before. But she blew my mind in this movie called Avatar. And I'm a huge fan of her. Not in this, like an acting career, like just inside the world of Avatar. You're talking about Sigourney Weaver fans and I'm even Stanford sweatshirt fans, but you're not talking about the real issue here.
I feel like I'm like debating at like half strength because half my brain is trying to think up the name of the planet, the name of the main character, the name of the blue people, a line from the film, anything, and I got nothing. Okay. Final, like, last-ditch effort. Avatar was a big 3D movie, and there are 3D movie junkies out there who love the technique and the technology of Avatar. What do we know about Cameron? A master of technology. He used to study USC grad theses so he would know every aspect of movie-making technology. That craftsmanship, I don't see it. I don't remember seeing it in Avatar, but it's there. And there's somebody who's like a 3D specialist who's like, I love watching Avatar because I see the richness of the depth or whatever. And that person is an Avatar fan.
I think he's a 3D technology fan. And now once again, it's the Sigourney Weaver moment once again happening. We have to deal with. I know it's sad true, but probably that person is a huge fan of anything with that 3D capacity, but is not a fan of the storytelling inside the world of Avatar. And it's sad because this conversation doesn't even have a point because we don't know anything about the movie. We can't remember just the blue people, and I think there's like a Cirque du Soleil version of it. So and maybe there's more fans of the Cirque du Soleil Avatar.
That I wish I'd known that.
I'm giving you something, and even with that, we can't do anything because it's the simple and darkest truth in the world. Now there's zero Avatar fan waiting for communication. There's zero.
Dan, talk to me.
What's remarkable is how low the bar is here.
I know.
For you to win.
I know. Find one fan. Not
winnable.
Isn't there a story in the Bible where God says, like, find me 40 honest guys in that town and I'll save the town?
Sure.
And then
they destroy the town.
That's like basically that. God has sent me to Earth to find 40 Avatar fans.
Yeah. And he's not going to save the
town. I'm at zero. Hey, if you love the film, write to us, text us. If you have an Avatar tattoo, you can send us a picture. I would love
to see that.
But if you have a tattoo of other movies that are bigger, then
no, it's so hard. We need Avatar fun. Like
you can't just be a fan of the movies, and then therefore your kind of Avatar's in there. You have to be like an
Avatar.
The way people
you love to watch Avatar.
Are Star Wars fans and Princess Bride fans.
But you say that it's not really weird. Like there's the most watched movie ever.
It's totally bizarre. Baffling. And I think part of it might be it's very, very hard to watch Avatar at home.
Right? Yeah, yeah.
You can't do it.
Right.
So.
So yeah, yeah, you can
saw
be
it the once, and then it's gone.
You have to see
I wonder if
movies.
There's little societies of people that sort of try and reconstruct. They get together. This might almost be a more fun group.
Yeah.
You get together with five or six friends and really try to reconstruct. Remember as much of Avatar as you can. This could be a fun dinner party.
And they surely make it a better Avatar.
Yeah, like, they probably improve it.
Pieces of memories, they make a better story, I'm sure.
There's stuff they're remembering from better movies.
And they put some stuff from Terminator in it.
And Predator is in it now.
So yeah, because also like we said this, Avatar is not that great. I'm sure no.
It was fairly flat. The bad guys were bad. The good guys were good.
And they keep talking about like they're doing like three sequels at the same time, and they're going to be like, and why?
Hey, but you know what? Every time I'm like, James Cameron's gone. I remember hearing about Avatar. James Cameron's gone too far this time. Never going to work. Biggest movie in history of the universe.
Yeah, I think what this debate suggests, there's some conspiracy going on there. If no one liked the movie,
we gotta get Cameron on the show.
We gotta find out what happened. So here's the thing: we talked a minute ago about how much we miss Dave.
Yeah,
we weren't able to get him on the phone per se, because he's that busy. But we were able to sort of conduct a debate by voicemail.
Oh, very cool.
So we got him to leave Healy a voicemail, and then Healy was able to respond, and we were actually able, they weren't able to get on the phone together at the same time. The schedules are just too complicated, but we were able to kind of like go back and forth throughout the course of maybe a day or two and get actually a whole debate in. And so I thought I would play that exchange for you guys, which we have right here. And I just wanted to say, like, the audio quality on the Apple voicemail isn't the best. Tim Cook, if you could work on that, that'd be great. So anyway, here are the voicemails.
Healy, what's up? It's Dave. Apparently we're going to debate by voicemail. That's how you wanted to do this. So I'm leaving the first message. You've chosen the topic. The great debate is farcical, and you want me to take the pro. Of course it's farcical. It's not real debates. It's a podcast where we try to, like, make arguments in a sort of funny way. We're not actually using even real facts. We sort of pride ourselves on stating things that aren't necessarily true and then pointing out that they're not true. There's no way that we, like, can prove the things that we're arguing. The whole thing is artifice and non-factual, and you don't really know what farcical means, but I think that what we're doing is 100% farcical. They're not real debates. In fact, the title, The Great Debates, is itself a joke in some way, or in some way farcical, because there's nothing great about what we're doing. We're not actual intellectual heavyweights who are trying to reason out the great issues of the day. End of first voicemail, end of opening statement. Come at me. Hi, this is Steve Healy, and I'm taking the con. First of all, I want to slow down for a second and invite the listeners into what's happening. As usual, Dave, you did a terrible job of that. You canceled a scheduled Great Debates record. You were desperate for ways that we could put out some new content for our listeners because you're hungry for the attention and acclaim the Great Debates brings you. And so we came up with this solution, which is we're going to debate by voicemail. Now, you came out of the box really slow and lazy, and you didn't explain how we came to this topic. In the book, it's called Tools of Titans, by Timothy Ferris, who's a motivational speaker, human experimenter, blogger, podcaster, etc. There's a nice mention of the Great Debates podcast in the interview with BJ Novak, one of our frequent guests, and it refers to the podcast as farcical. It compares it with Intelligence Squared. And the fact is, it's not farcical. It might be funny sometimes, but it's not farcical for two big reasons. One is that there's nothing physical about it. By definition, there's no physicality because it's on a radio. I'm not sure But I think that any definition of farce would involve some kind of physical running around, running from one room to another, as in like a farcical Frasier episode or something, or like puppets hitting each other, like Punch and Judy style, like in the old, you know, the probably the origin of farce was like traveling street people in France or something. Who knows? But also, it's not farcical because it's really earnest. I mean, I think we are genuinely, what we're selling, if we're selling anything, is like friendship and dialogue between two friends who don't always agree, who often disagree. And so, yeah, sometimes it's funny just because you're a funny guy. I think you do the bulk of what's funny about it. I think I'm usually being pretty serious, and it's not farcical at all. And that's my opening statement. Hey, I wanted to add something to my argument. This is Steve Healy on the con side, just jumping in. It's also not farcical because it's like, if anything, it's like witty or sort of satirical, or you might call it smart. I think you'd have to describe it using those words. I know you like to talk about how we don't actually know anything. That's fair. But it's not like on the comedy spectrum where farce is like people running around and hitting each other. We're on the other end where it's just like Barbie kind of banter. So I think that's another reason why it's not farcical.
Healy, it's King. I just listened to your terrible argument. I don't know why you spent all this time talking about where the statement came from, Tim Ferriss' book, who cares? All of that is like you sidestepping the actual debate. Whether or not it's farcical, I still haven't looked up what farcical means, as I assume you haven't either. To me, I think that's a meta point in favor of this debate, this whole podcast being farcical, because we don't really know what we're doing. We don't take it that seriously. Obviously, farce doesn't have to just mean like whatever the sort of like noises off version of farce where people are opening and closing doors and the comedy of, you know, people missing each other in a room 2 seconds after someone leaves or enters and doors opening and closing. Obviously, that's not what a podcast would be to be farcical. There's such a thing as a farcical podcast, and that's what ours is. It's not to be taken seriously. They're not actually great debates. The title is in and of itself farcical. I'm reminded of the, for lack of a better example, the only other time I can remember the word farcical being used during the OJ chase. There was like a guy called in, was able to get on ABC News and said that he could see OJ in the back of his car. And then he said, "Baba Booey to y'all." And then Al Michaels said on national, TV, for everyone who doesn't know, that was a farcical phone call. And the same way that that call was farcical, our podcast is farcical. It's not meant to be taken seriously. It's a joke. They're not great debates.
Hey, this is Steve Healy picking back up my argument. I just got a massage, which is something that I almost never do. And it was so terrific. It was at a place called The Now on Beverly. Maybe they could be our new sponsor. I don't know. Putting it out there. I didn't listen to your last voicemail, Dave, your last set of arguments. I assumed it was silly and unnecessary. I'm just going to pick out sort of where I left off, talking about how the great debate isn't farcical, and I'm going to make this my closing statement. It's not farcical because it's earnest and it's real. And what we're doing is not making a fart. Like the best way to make a case that it's farcical is that we're making a farce of serious debate. And I guess in some way we are, because we're treating it kind of in a silly fashion. But farcical is just not the right word for something that is genuinely expressed between two people who are kind of doing it in pretty much good faith. And yeah, we are trying to entertain people, but I think we basically find that the best entertainment comes from being as close as possible to the truth and kind of making a semi-earnest product and letting the comedy come from that, if there is comedy. Sometimes there isn't. I think if it were a farce, it'd be something we'd be trying really hard to make silly and goofy and to send up the conventions of debate. And we just don't really do that. We take it kind of seriously, I think. And I think that seriousness is what gives it its amusing energy, because we're amusing people and we're kind of funny and we're, you know, we're not that serious. But ultimately, farcical is the wrong word for the great debates. Special, illuminating, entertaining, amusing, these are all right, but farcical is just wrong.
I'm Steve Healy, and I've been taking the con. I hope you've enjoyed this debate. Healy, it's Dave King. And why am I even addressing Healy? This is really for our listeners. I just got your closing statement voicemail. Since you gave some context to where you are, I'm calling from the Paramount studio lot where I work. If you hear children in the background, that's the daycare center. That's 100 yards from my office. Quite charming. I'm standing on Lucy Park, where Lucille Ball used to work, and where my dog Donut occasionally runs around during break. Just as you decided to tell me that you just got a massage and it was delightful, I too find it totally suitable to basically waste time telling you about Lucille Ball, and that's one of the main reasons that our whole debate is a farce. No one in a real debate would ever talk about massages. No one in a real debate would ever not even listen to the person's previous argument as you bragged about doing. You didn't even hear what I was saying. That alone, I feel like, is evidence enough to prove that this whole thing is a farce. You can't both say that we take this earnestly, that we take it even semi-seriously, and also glibly say, of course I didn't listen to whatever it was that you just said because I don't have to, because I got a massage. I almost feel like you were daring me to make this argument because it's so obvious and you have something up your sleeve prepared to come back to me, but I don't think you do. I think you proved proved my point with your last message, and after you hung up, you realized it, and now you're screwed, and because we're doing this by voicemail and not live in the studio, you lose. And you have no recourse. And it's all your fault, bud. Okay, love you, bye.
Dave, Steve Healy. I'm talking to you, Dave, but I'm also talking to our listeners. I'm right now on a number 10 bus on Melrose Ave. I'm going to downtown to have dinner and then to watch the Boston Celtics play the Clippers. And just like you, I'm offering a little window into life because that's a lot of what we're dealing with here on The Great Debate, a window into life. Now, I know you think the debate is over because I said it was my closing argument, but what you forgot is that the debate isn't over until I say the magic space phrase, the phrase that we use to take us out of the world of debate and back into the world of conversation and friendship. I'd encourage any frequent arguers to think about having a similar phrase that says, hey, the argument's over. We're ready to move on and back to our old friendship. Anyway, I haven't said that phrase yet, but I'm going to say another little argument before I close this out. What we offer is a picture into our world, and whatever that is, it's not a farce. Okay, it's time to close this out with the magic phrase. Ladines, what'd you think?
Okay, so before I get to what I thought about this, I wanted to say that I got these voicemails emailed to me by the two guys, and the that last little bit that Healy recorded was sent to me by Dave with the subject line Healy cheated and added this at the end, and then Healy replied to all and said strong word and I resent it, well within accepted debate bounds, and then King replied to all with, you said you were making closing statements and you were done. Then you called back. I haven't even listened to it, but I know cheating when I see it. And then Healy, you're trying to make a farce of this debate, but it won't work. And then Dave King replying to all, you made a farce already by A, not taking it seriously at all, e.g. not listening to my voicemail, and B, cheating. You're the farce man. You made the farce. I don't know if I'm really getting the inflection of a Dave King in there, but I think frequent listeners will get it. And then he adds in, Medina, feel free to read these emails as part of the closing. So I think that was what he wanted to have as his like add-on.
Yeah, I don't think it was necessary to read the emails, actually. I resent that. What did you think of the debate?
I think it's probably the great based on the debate that I heard on tape, the great debates is probably farcical.
I think farcical debates could basically be our tagline.
Yeah.
That's a pretty good like summary of what we're up to. But I think I won the debate.
I don't have Dave here to really kind of chime in and whatever.
And we'll get him back soon, I hope. Dave, recover.
Dave, can you hear us out there?
Dave,
we need you back. In the meantime, while you're busy, it was great to have the guests that we had fill in for the last couple of weeks.
Hey, thank you, Fabrizio.
Thanks for coming in again. So awesome to have you here.
Dave is quitting forever, or like whatever will happen with him. He had an accident or something.
He doesn't make it. He doesn't make it. You know.
And in the meantime, guys, send us email. Tell us how you miss Dave. Thank our guests that we've had, Fabrizio Capano, and give us your feedback. Tell me what you think of the voicemail debates, and we'll look forward to seeing you next week. Great debate.
The Great Debates is produced by Mark Caracello. The theme song was composed by Christopher Knight. The debaters are Steve Healy and Dave King, and the podcast is moderated by Dan Medina.